This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thank you so much for kicking off your day right here with us on The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han and with me, Joyce Goh. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Han.
All right, let's start off the show with some breaking news here. You've got Theresa May, UK Prime Minister, who has won the no confidence vote. While that may be perhaps simplifying or oversimplifying the outcome because one in three of her fellow Tories had actually voted against her, and this casts doubt about the UK's Brexit path moving forward.
Yeah, I think it was quite surprising. I think some people expected her not to win this. So as you mentioned, Han, I think against the 200 lawmakers backing her, 117 voted that they had no confidence in her leadership. I think the rebels needed to win about 159 no confident votes to trigger a party leadership election to replace May, but looks like she's still in that seat. And I guess the way forward still isn't clear what's going to happen with Brexit, whether it's going to happen or not. Yeah.
Yeah. So after the 7:30 a.m. news today, we'll be speaking to Vishnu Varadhan. He's the head of economics and strategy with Mizuho Bank over there in Singapore. So we're going to get his thoughts about what's next for Brexit, how this could impact not just markets, but also economies over there, or the UK economy. All right. Here's what's coming up this hour between now till 7 a.m. So we've got a few stories. So we're going to dive into the latest study by Kazana Research Institute about youth workers here in Malaysia.
Yeah, so what Kazana Research found is that Malaysian youth is unskilled, low-skilled jobs are over-educated.
All right, so we'll talk about that. And Joyce, we also have a story about public libraries.
Yeah, there's this public library that's open in Jarawan Mall. So I guess the question here is, what would make you go to the library, Han? Would you go to a library?
Maybe. We will discuss that later on in this hour. Also coming up in just a bit, we'll discuss what is currently causing the most stress in your life. You can always be part of this conversation. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. That's our Twitter handle. So please feel free to join in the conversation as we take you all the way up till 10 a.m. this morning. All right, we'll be back again with more topics. So stay tuned right here to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was ZZ Top with Tush, a hit song from 1975 from their album Fandango. You are tuned into The Morning Run here on BFM 89.9. Han and Joyce keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. Let's start off the morning by talking about what stresses you out the most. I know Joyce is going to say it's Han.
One of the stress factors, the dominant source. No.
Wow. I feel like an intervention is almost necessary here. All right. So there's this story here about the number one thing that stresses people out. This can be found on marketwatch.com. And in America, the number one reason why Americans are stressed is because of money.
Is that surprising though? So I think 44% of Americans are saying that money is the dominant source of stress for them, followed by 25% who said personal relationships and 18% blaming work.
Yeah, just 18%. So only one in five blame work when... Well, not to reveal too much about my personal life, but when we go and hang out with friends, especially on the weekends, what's the first thing they whine and complain about? It's work. Right? And you have to work to find money. So
I think that's correlated.
Yeah.
Work and the money thing, I think it's correlated. Like 18% and 44%. You know, some people at the 44% of Americans who say it's money, it could be related to work because maybe they're working to get money to pay their loans.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And speaking about loans, right? Look, in America, they are just drowning in debt. There's a saying whereby everything in America runs on credit. I recall, I was just telling one of our interns yesterday that when I was in the States, when I went there to study, before I signed up for classes, true story, I actually went and got a credit card. So they have these tables set up outside the school cafeteria, and they actually, they give you free t-shirts, free pizza, anything, just to get you to sign up for that first credit card. Why? Because without any kind of credit history, you can't get a mobile phone plan. You may not even be considered for renting a room, right? So everything just runs on credit over there. And with that kind of pressure, right, on your personal finances, I can understand why stress over money is the number one cause of stress.
So Han, you mean you can get a credit card without any income?
Yeah. So I mean, like, you got people who are working as, like, waiters, waitresses. So you do get some part-time income. But broadly speaking, you need, it's not want, yeah, you need that first credit card just so you can build up any kind of credit. Yeah, because, again, you know, it affects everything in your life, you know, how you move on forward. Even a mobile phone plan.
Yeah, so like the credit scoring thing where they can, I guess, look into how you spend and your credit scoring. Yeah. Wow, interesting.
And then, you know, in the States, and according to this study here, student loan debt has jumped 150% over the span of just a decade. About one in four Americans don't even have a single dollar saved for an emergency. You know,
and credit card debt actually hit a record high this year at more than $1 trillion. Mm. This is according to the Federal Reserve.
Right. You know, so you know, I think money issues, that is obviously very important. And I think that is mirrored here in Malaysian society as well. Mm-hmm. Joyce, we have spoken about this on the show before. Recall last year, I think about towards the end of last year, Bank Negara came out with a report about how many Malaysians struggle to even come up with 1,000 ringgit in case of an emergency.
Yeah.
Do you recall
that? Yes, yes. Mm. But do you think it's also because of the high cost of living now and how everyone just wants to buy the latest iPhone? It's a shift in spending, like how everyone's, like you say, it's credit. So they're all chasing the latest gadgets and be it an iPhone, computer, whatever. And also it's just, cost of living now is a lot higher compared to what it was. But money, definitely, I think it's a global, I mean, it's a stress factor for not just Americans. It's a very real stress factor for people today. I mean, even myself, right?
Right. I mean, and keep in mind, there are two different things here. You know, there's inflation, right? And then there's also cost of living, right? Mm-hmm. Whereby what is deemed to be acceptable, an acceptable quality or standard of living in your society, that has gradually increased. But then the question here is this, you know, even though, I mean, broadly speaking, we are far wealthier now than previous generations, but are we happier?
Yeah.
But based on this
Good
survey, we're not, right? Because
we're
stressing it out. Mm-hmm. We're stressing out over it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's also the point, like keeping up with the Joneses and all that. But I guess for people, I think I had this conversation earlier with Julian about, you know, when's a good time to retire. And, you know, for me, I guess it's when you have financial freedom. When you don't have a mortgage to pay, I think that's a good time to cut back on work and all that. But a lot of people,
when
I mean,
you achieve
my friends,
financial independence.
Yes, financial freedom. When you don't have a loan to pay for, I think a lot of friends and myself, we are working because we have that loan to pay, right? And also to save for our kids' education, right? For the future. But it is something that I guess if you're not born with a gold spoon, I wouldn't say a silver spoon, a gold diamond-plated spoon.
Platinum spoon.
Or with the trust fund, then this is the reality. I mean, this is part of growing up.
Right, and this is where I have to do a shameless plug for Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. It happens every Thursday, so later today after the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. And one of the main themes that we talk about is retirement and your personal finances and financial independence, right? So make sure you stay tuned for that episode today. But for right now, you let us know what stresses you out the most. 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number. Again, 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. We want to know what stresses you out the most.
Actually, Mr. Tan WhatsApp in and he says that traffic, of course.
Yeah.
That is true, actually. Yeah, it's a stress factor.
So that means that Mr. Tan's, you know, dare I speculate, his financial standing is not a cause of stress
He's
for
financially
him.
Free.
Wow. One day, Mr. Tan, will be like
our
you.
Dream. Yeah.
Right. It's now coming up to 16 minutes past 6 a.m. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was the OJs with For the Love of Money. And it was the theme song for The Apprentice, helmed by the, well, Donald Trump, now President Donald Trump. I used to love that show, you know, The Apprentice. Did you watch that?
The same, yes, I did.
Yeah, you're fired.
Yeah.
You're fired.
It was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it was. Yes. Just like the president right now. Oops. Anyways, moving on now. Well, speaking about money, right? So let's talk about perhaps the lack there. thereof, and that could be driving people towards public libraries. Now, there is a public library that just opened up at the Jaya One Mall here in PJ, right? Well, I shouldn't say here anymore because we are now in TTDI. We are no longer in PJ. But it opened at the Jaya One Mall, which kind of got us thinking, right, here on the Morning Run. Do public libraries, I mean, what role does it play, you know, here in this modern era? I recall going to public libraries a lot, during my childhood. Mm. I think every weekend we had our special library bag, which my mom brought with us kids to the library, and then we just stuff it full of books that we'll read all week long. But I have to say, I haven't stepped into a library in yonks. I can't remember the last time I walked into a library.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that as well. Yeah. I haven't been to a library. I haven't brought my kids to a library to go. But I am a big advocate for books, right? Mm. I get them books for them to read. I encourage them to read. But I think this idea to have a library in the mall, I think that's a great idea because Malaysians love their shopping malls. They love to go walk around in the shopping malls. And if you see a library there, you know, it might, because do you know where's the library now here? I mean, aside from Jaya One, do you know where the library is? Because personally, I don't know where.
Yeah. That's a very good point. I have no idea where
they are. It's not because I don't bring my kids, okay, but I don't know anywhere nearby or somewhere near. I don't know, but.
That's a very good question. Yeah. I have to Google map this. I have no idea
you see,
where.
See, right? Yeah. So it's very different from when we were growing up, we knew where the libraries were or school libraries. Mm. I remember going to a school library to borrow books and also my parents taking me to this place. I'm from Penang, so in Carnarvon Street called Novel House, because my parents are Penangites, right? So they don't believe in buying books. They believe in taking me to the library. But this Novel House is not a public library where you go there and you pay like $1-$2 to rent. So you pay first like upfront, like maybe $10 for the book. And when you return, they pay you back $8.
Right.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask my fellow Klangites. I know some of you kind of listening at this during this hour. I used to go to the public library across from Convent School Klang, I believe, right? So I don't know if that library is still there or if it's shut down, if it's been shut down. So you guys got to let me know here. But check this out, right? Okay, now, I started this talk set by talking about the lack of money as a segue from the song that we just heard. And that is apparently a key driving factor as to why millennials in the U.S. are keeping libraries alive. So there's this study by the Pew Research Center in the U.S., last year about library attendance. Now, millennials, more than any other generation, are using these physical libraries more than previous generations.
Oh, that's
right?
Good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Why? Because, look, generally speaking, young adults, they may lack financial resources and they may live in confined spaces or just be renting a room. So they need somewhere that's free and that's easily accessible and safe where they can just hang out and then possibly use the internet also.
And where there's free Wi-Fi.
So they, millennials, are keeping public libraries alive in the US. And I wonder if that trend can be replicated here in Malaysia, and perhaps that library that's opening up at Jaya One Mall. Yeah. That could be the start of a new trend.
I'll definitely bring my kids there now that I know that there's a library there and it's accessible, right? And it's good to, for me, I'm still, I had this conversation with Julian Han about audiobooks versus print, you know, actual books. And I feel, to me, reading an actual book is still the way, I mean, it may not be the way forward, but I still enjoy that.
Right.
You know, and enjoy reading with my kids. Enjoy reading physical books with my kids.
Right. And that's why I also like reading the newspaper, you know, because I just love having something in my hand.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number. Again, 018-789-8899. Public libraries, you know, what role does it play in this modern era? Do you still go to public libraries? Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio as well. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right here on The Morning Run. BFM 89.9, Bon Jovi there with You Give Love a Bad Name. I am Tan Chung Han and with me, Joyce Goh. Thank you so much for the welcome back, Samuel Tan. Yes, I was away last week and as you may tell, I've left part of my voice over there in Old Trafford in the UK. But yes, I am back this week. Thank you very much. Now, Earlier, Joyce, we were talking about the role of public libraries, mm-hmm. you know, here in this modern day and age. And we both admitted that we have not frequented a public library in God knows how many years. Don't even know where the closest library is. Looks like we may not be alone, because at Sam and Tom Wolf tweeted in saying, "Been a lifetime since I last stepped into one. Times have changed. Perhaps they need to make libraries feel like Starbucks to draw life back into them." Because otherwise,
good suggestion.
Yeah, Sam and Tom Wolf will just Google and wiki for stuff and sip coffee from home. And I think that's what some libraries are doing. And then over there in the States, they are building libraries and designing them to cater to millennials, because according to studies, millennials are visiting these physical libraries more so than any previous generation, and millennials are keeping public libraries alive there over there in the States. So I wonder if the same can be said about millennials here in Malaysia. Now, speaking about millennials, Joyce, let's dive into this latest study by Kanzana Research Institute. It's called School to Work Transition of Young Malaysians. Now, a lot of interesting things to unpack here, but one of them is the dismantling of this myth, right? That the notion of this of youth, fresh graduates asking for unrealistic wages, that according to KRI is a myth.
Yeah, and actually what you're saying is that many young people actually earn below their reservation wage. What is reservation wage? That is the wage below which youth would refuse a job offer. So it's kind of like what they're expecting out of the wages. And they're actually taking jobs that are below their expectation. And so this notion that Malaysian youth are asking for unrealistic wages, that's a myth. This is according to KRI's visiting senior fellow, Dr. Lim Lin Lien, and the author of the report.
Right. Now, here's the thing, right? Now, how do we get that myth? Because year in, year out, Joyce, we get all these studies and these reports from employers and those in the employment space about these unrealistic wages being demanded by fresh graduates, right? You know, the one that comes to mind is from 2016. I think it's done by JobStreet. JobStreet Malaysia did a survey, and more than half of the employers surveyed here in Malaysia complained that fresh graduates ask for unrealistic numbers of salaries and benefits. Again, this is from a couple of years. I'm mistaken. This came from September 2017. And some of the startling figures in that JobStreet Malaysia survey was that some fresh graduates are asking for 6,500 ringgit per month, starting off, right? 6,500, right? So you have that narrative that we've been fed for years now. Mm-hmm. And then KRI comes out and says, well, really, that's a myth, right? So I wonder if that myth is because perhaps the two different studies are done with varying groups. So perhaps one is more of an urban-centric one, whereby, you know, kids who graduate with degrees from overseas then come back and have more, and I'm using air quotes here, unrealistic wage demands, versus the broader picture for youth across Malaysia, where, you know, that those demands are not reflected across the country.
Well, Han, actually, in this recent survey, I think what some stats came out from this shows that up to 85% of young workers with degrees polled said that they work in low-skilled jobs, with another 50% in occupations with slightly higher skills prerequisites. So up to 80% of them who have degrees in all that, they're in low-skilled jobs. So it looks like they're just, whatever jobs that comes, they'll just take it.
They'll just take it, right? They just got to start paying the bills, right?
Yeah.
And making ends meet. And perhaps, I dare say, for many young people, also help contribute to the family's finances, right? So it obviously brings up a lot of questions here about, okay, now that there is this myth that needs to be dispelled, what kind of policies then should be targeted at these fresh graduates? So obviously there's a mismatch. They are overqualified for the jobs that are out there in the job market. So then what does the government and what do employers do?
And what's the issue? I think some people are saying that could it be because the minimum wage policy is 1,100 ringgit per month that's going to start next year? Whether this should be applied to all sectors and where should it be applied? Because some people are saying that some employers are using this minimum wage to keep wages this down. Mm. So they use that as like an excuse that, oh, you know, I can't, would I rather pay a fresh grad Malaysian, like maybe 1,800 versus maybe a foreigner who's probably okay with the 1,100 ringgit right. per month, right? That's one. Also, I think some people are saying that maybe we should aim for a living wage policy instead of looking at minimum wage. Look at the cost of living mm-hmm. rather than just set a minimum wage. Because sometimes the cost of living in KL is not the same as the cost of living in perhaps Sabah.
Yeah.
Right? So it's different, right? Different states, different kind of cost of living. So whether or not, you know, employers should consider that is, you know, it's different. And I guess also, as you mentioned, it depends on the individual. Some people can, some fresh grads, where it be, maybe they have the pharma tabung and, you know, the pharma father mother tabung right. and all that.
Pharma
you know?
Bank, right.
Yeah,
yes.
right. Maybe they can afford to wait for that, I don't know, 6,000 ringgit job, whether that exists.
Right. But, so that reservation wage is a hard and fast line for them, whereas others, they have to compromise, right?
Yeah.
Like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then there's also the part about, well, if there's this or too much of a fixation on the minimum wage, then what about the living wage? You know, should we all start considering that? Obviously, employees and fresh graduates would want that, but can employers, you know, kind of live up to those demands? I recall that earlier this year, I think back in May, Bank Negara released a report about the provisional estimate of the living wage for a single person in KL, 2,700 ringgit. 2,700, you know, which is a far cry from the minimum wage that's 1,100.
Yeah.
I mean, even the government's plans to raise it up to 1,500 ringgit over the next 5 years. With inflation, with the rising cost of living, really, how meaningful will 1,500 ringgit be, you know, in 2023?
Yeah.
Right? Not very meaningful.
Yeah, exactly. So it boils down to it looks like some of the graduates out there, they are overqualified for the jobs, and it's a myth that they are asking for like unrealistic wages.
Let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. That's our WhatsApp number. Is this a myth, or do you think that, you know, there are still unrealistic demands out there by fresh graduates, young people? Again, our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. We want to hear your thoughts, right? And also, you know, we can broaden this conversation to policymakers. And what do you think will be effective policies that can be aimed towards fresh graduates? Again, keeping in mind, this is post-graduating already, you know. I mean, education, that's all kind of done and dusted. Now that they're in this conundrum, you know, that they're accepting jobs below their reservation wage, you know, how do we actually help them?
Well, we have a tweet coming in from Paul Lau saying that one study is skewed, this study is skewed towards people who's got the job because the unrealistic person is still at home. Which is true.
Yeah, fair observation there. Okay, keep those tweets and messages coming in, and we'll be addressing them in just a bit. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Sam Cooke there with Bring It On Home to Me. And thank you for bringing those tweets and messages to us. Again, you can be part of this conversation. Our WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899. Again, 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, Joyce, earlier we were talking about the role of public libraries here in Malaysia. There's a new public library that just opened up at Jaya One Mall in PJ. And we've had some WhatsApps come in.
Yeah, so we have a WhatsApp coming in from M saying that libraries open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and close on weekends. So when do working people get to go to libraries? Unless they open like the hours of a cafe.
I think hence that library in the mall, then I would think that they would stay open during the mall opening hours as well. Mm-hmm. And recall that there's Malaysia's first 24-hour bookstore that just opened in Cyberjaya, I want to say.
Is there one? Okay, well, then we should go check it out.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. I tend to be a bit of a recluse on the weekends here. And then we've got, others who have also weighed in, you know, Roshan saying that, well, you know, he too, like us, couldn't recall the last time that he was in a library. In fact, the last time he was in a library was back in Melbourne, where people kind of hung out. So perhaps the library culture, that's not so much something that's adopted here in Malaysia yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Well, also we have someone, Matty, who WhatsApp in saying that for libraries, check out Odi in Helsinki just opened.
Oh, Maddie. Oh, well, good morning there, Maddie. Also, a big shout out there to Faisal. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. Over on Twitter, you got need positivity, or at MichaelKK59 saying that, well, he too cannot recall the last time that he went into the library there. You know? So again, you know, whether or not this opening of that public library, the emphasis on public library in the Jayawan Wall, whether that is enough to kickstart this change in culture, and you know, ultimately, will Malaysians start frequenting these libraries?
Because Malaysians go to malls every other day, you know, but every other weekend, you know, it's a kind of like a national spot, right? To go shopping in a shopping mall. So I guess to have a library there could be a good idea. Have to see whether or not this will pick up.
Right. And then another story that we were just talking about before the break, again, was the latest study by the Khazanah Research Institute. Their publication is titled School to Work Transition of Young Malaysians. This trying to dispel this myth that young, fresh graduates are asking for unrealistic wages, a narrative that we've been hearing for years now. Well, it turns out that Malaysians are willing to work below what's called the reservation wage. Reservation wage being the wage below which youth would refuse a job offer, right? So in the past, let's say that reservation wage, you give them anything below, they say, nah, I'm not going to do it, right? But then turns out, according to KRI, they are still accepting those jobs that offer below the reservation wage. Now, obviously, there's a conversation about the policy there. And so we've got the KRI visiting senior fellow, Dr. Lim Lin Lin, who talks about how, you know, the reforms, right, of current economic policies are needed to address the issues of low wages and lack of opportunities. Here's what she had to say.
I think the question to ask ourselves is, do we want to keep along a path of a race to the bottom? No. It's been a long-term issue for this country that one of the reasons why we cannot make it to a high-income country status is because we keep using cheap labor and we have little incentive to innovate, to use more technology so that we have higher productivity.
That was KRI, Khazanah Research Institute, visiting senior fellow Dr. Lim Lin Lin. Now, so she talks about the challenges, right, about how this could be a speed bump when it comes to Malaysia's quest to become a high-income nation. Yeah. But we just had the World Bank yesterday talk about, well, Malaysia is well on its way towards becoming a high-income nation. So we have all these competing narratives out there, right? So we want to know what you have to say. Again, be part of this conversation. You can WhatsApp us or tweet us.
Well, Lim Lin Lian said that, you know, the government must rethink its cheap labor policy, because I think some of the employers out there are using this whole minimum wage as an excuse to not pay their fresh grads or be their employees better pay. That could be a reason for that. So, and you know, some data came out shows saying that a lot of youth are overqualified for the kind of jobs that they're doing.
Right. But that's paper and academic qualifications. Mm-hmm. I think Dr. Lim also talks about, you know, how there should be more emphasis on soft skill courses and also more emphasis on work-based learning there. So all the stakeholders have to come together to not just get a better understanding, but then also offer the best remedy for this mismatch. We are coming up to the 7 a.m. news bulletin. So stay tuned right here to the Morning Run on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.